So good to see everyone out this evening. It's good to have visitors with us. We hope and pray that you'll come back again and again as you have opportunity. We pray that the service will be beneficial to everyone and bring honor and glory to our Heavenly Father. As I mentioned this morning, both of the sermons today revolve around different songs, and this song is Sorry I Never Knew You, and we'll get to the words of that song later in the sermon. But I want us to start with our text in Matthew chapter 7, very familiar text, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. That's some of the scariest words that there are. I never knew you. Depart from me. Of all the things that someone could say to us, when we think of God saying that, and again, after these people that had come to Jesus, they were religious people. They had been doing what they thought was right. But then to hear the Lord say, depart from me, I never knew you. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name? By thy name cast out demons, by thy names do many mighty works. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to hear this. And they said that they did it in the name of the Lord. False teachers are clearly religious people crying, Lord, Lord. The problem is not their inactivity. Their problem is the wrong activity. And they deceive themselves in what follows. And the great error is in doing their own will instead of Christ. Again, so many people today want to serve self instead of serve God, whether they be in the church or out of the church, but the problem exists in the church and in the religious community. The fact that many such persons exist identifies them as followers on the broad way. Jesus talked about a narrow way and a broad way. When he says many, we have to understand that these are on the broad way. The nature of their errors is emphasized by their prophesying, casting out demons, doing mighty works in Christ's name. Well, what was wrong with this? They did those works in Christ's name, but without his authority or sanction. They would just go and do something and say, I do this in the name of Christ. But they were not doing it in the authority of Christ. They did not have a thus saith the Lord for what they were doing. No one can doubt that this is exactly the situation with reference to the majority of religious actions that go on today. You go up and down Main Street out here, and people say that they are doing things in the name of the Lord, and they're doing it in name only. They're doing it without the authority, without the backing. They're done in Jesus' name, but not by his authority. The things were not commanded by Christ. So if we want to do something that is in the name of the Lord, we have to be able to find where it is commanded, where we have authority to do for what he says. When we look at the next verse, and that day, that obviously refers to the judgment. And in this verse, Christ claims for himself the right to assign our reward. He's either going to say, enter in or depart from me. Christ alone has that right to do that. Again, this is so different than what we hear people say today. So many people, and it's sad, they just think that everybody's going to heaven. It's sad because they have not opened the Bible and read what God said. It is sad because they have not gone to the one that we looked at this morning that said that he is the way. He is the door. Nobody can go to the Father except through him. This one person said, a man who can read the New Testament and not see that Christ claims to be more than a man can look all over the sky at high noon on a cloudless day and not see the sun. So he's saying if somebody goes out, and if somebody goes out at noon and they look up at the sky and they can't recognize the sun up there, they can't recognize that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We can all recognize the Son up there. Why cannot we recognize Jesus Christ as the Son of God and follow what he has to say? So this verse contains some of the worst thoughts in scriptures. There's going to be a lot of souls diligently serving God and doing mighty things in his name, only to discover that they have never really served him at all. It's like, I've used the illustration before. Someone is a painter and they go to paint someone's house, and they paint the house, and then they spend a lot of time and effort and money painting that house, and then they go back and knock on the door and say, I'm here to collect. I was told to come to this house and paint it, and what number do you have? Well, that's not this number. That's the other house over there. They labor thinking what they are doing what is right. They labor in sincerity, but they're wrong. The warning from Christ should stop every man until he's sure beyond all possibility of deception that he is truly doing Christ's will. The final paragraph, the climax of this Sermon on the Mount, lays down the true guidelines for souls truly desiring of knowing what is the will of God. Again, these are some of the scariest words. Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, do many mighty works in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Do we know anybody like that? Sure we do. We've got lots of family, lots of friends, other people we know. You think of every religion that was founded after the day of Pentecost. Everybody that's in those religions that was founded after the day of Pentecost, and they are going to hear these words on the day of judgment. I never knew you. Depart from me. So let's notice a few points about this group that he is talking to. They went a long way in religion. They made an open profession. They said, Lord, Lord. They undertook Christian service and they went about it diligently. And sometimes, again, we sit back and wait for somebody else to do something. That was not what these people were like. They went out and they were busy. They had obtained remarkable success. They were noted for their practical energy. They were diligent. They did everything in the name of Christ. The words, thy name, are mentioned 3 times. So how could we say that these people aren't going to go to heaven? You're just being too legalistic. You're being too narrow-minded. Well, again, it's not what I'm saying. It's what the Lord himself said. And when you look at all the work they did, you see some people come into the church and we're so happy that they do, and they get busy and they work, and then it's like as fast as they came into the church, they go out. These people were not that way. They kept it up a long time. They were not silenced by men. You think about all the religious persecution that was going on at this time, all the opposition. this group that he is talking to in Matthew 7, they kept on doing what they were doing. They were not openly disowned by the Lord himself during life. And again, we need to think about that, because God's not going to step out and speak to us other than his word and say, what you're doing is right or what you're doing is wrong. That's going to be reserved for the judgment day. They expected to enter the kingdom. They clung to that false hope to the last. They dared to say, Lord, Lord, to Christ himself at last. These were, we would call them good, honest, sincere people. But they were lost. They were lost. They were fatally mistaken. They prophesied, but they did not pray. They cast out devils, but the devil was not cast out of them. We talked about this morning, Satan himself has ministers and false apostles out there. They were able to do things at this time. It doesn't go into the extent of what they did, but they were able to do something of an amazing nature, but they couldn't get Satan out of themselves. They couldn't get Satan out of their own heart. They attended to marvels, but not to essentials. They wrought wonders, but were also workers of iniquity. And how could they be workers of iniquity? I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice iniquity, you who practice lawlessness. They were acting without authority. They were acting without a thus saith the Lord. They were acting without a it is written. And they were sincere. I would not doubt at all that they were sincere. And they found this out. They found out their final judgment in a terrible way. You think about the seriousness of what he said. He said, I never knew you. How about us today? He had been omitted from their religion. They went about doing things as they thought they should, but Jesus said, I never knew you. You think of what was implied. They must depart from all hope and continue forever to depart. Again, you think about being away from God. There's no light. It's complete darkness, a place of pain, a place of suffering, where there's no relief. And sometimes we might be going through something that's hard here, and we go to bed at night and we pray to God, pray for a better day, and we wake up and tomorrow's a new day. Friends, if we hear these words, depart from me, I never knew you, there's not going to be another day. There's not going to be a better day. It's going to be eternal damnation. You think about the awful truth of what he said. They were strangers to his heart. He had not chosen them, nor communed with them, nor approved of them, nor cared for them. And you think about the finality of what he said. This sentence could never be recalled. They couldn't make an appeal. This sentence couldn't be changed. It couldn't be stopped. Depart from me. It was final. I think we don't think about that enough. Jesus said in John chapter 5, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. So this judgment that Jesus is going to declare, either enter in or depart from me, is coming from the Father. And again, if we reject God, we have rejected our only hope. He goes on in verse 24, everyone, therefore, that hears these words of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a wise man who built his house on the rock. So the key to everlasting life is in Jesus saying these words of mine. These words of mine. We've got to go back to the words of Jesus. Throughout the New Testament, the final, ultimate, exclusive authority for true religion is the word spoken by Christ. Jesus commanded the church to teach whatsoever I have commanded you. Matthew 28:20. What do we hear preached in churches today? We hear just about everything from A to Z, and not much of what Christ commanded. He declared that the words he spoke would judge men in the last day. John 12:48. I want to turn there and just read a couple of these. I'm going to start at verse 42. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Then Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light in the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. So where does this judgment come from? It comes from God. It comes from God. Jesus spoke it. It's our responsibility to obey it. And why wouldn't we want to? With everything that God has done for us, he's loved us so much. He's provided a way of escape. He's got a home waiting for us. Why would we not want to obey him? The true religion was first spoken by Christ. In Hebrews chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. So again, we have this word coming from God. If the angels disobeyed that word, what happened to them? They were punished. If they were punished, how shall we escape so great a salvation? Whosoever goes onward and abides not in the teaching of Christ has not God. 2 John 1:9. The apostles warn that men ought to learn how not to go beyond the things which are written. That's a very simple principle, but a lot of people don't want to follow that. They'll read God's word, and then what do? They pick up a book written by some man, and say, but this is what this means, and they go to some man. And I've heard people say, I never really understood the Bible until I read this man's book. Friends, you don't need some man's book to understand the Bible. You just need to read the Bible, read and study the Bible. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you. Colossians 3:16, Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So we see this word, the importance of the word. It was spoken. The teaching of Christ, his words, things which were written. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. And when this earth is destroyed, when this earth is burned up with fervent heat, when the oceans are dried up, when everything is destroyed, what is still going to last? When the heavens and earth are moved, what's still going to last? The word of God. The word of God. And it should motivate us to learn the word of God so that we are not in that group, to learn it and obey it so that we are not in that group that Jesus says, I never knew you. Most important fact to know with reference to Christianity is that it is of Christ. Again, you look at all these denominations, you look at some places that wear the name Church of Christ, and some have even, they call themselves the Church of Christ, but have gotten away from wearing the name. Is that of Christ? Think about this. Not even the apostles were commissioned to go beyond the word. They couldn't add their spin on things. They couldn't add something else to it. They could not go beyond the word. Even the reception of the Holy Spirit in their hearts was not for the purpose of imparting additional truth, but for bringing to remembrance the things that Christ taught. That was what Jesus said the Holy Spirit was going to do. He's going to bring to remembrance. He wasn't teaching something different, and he's not teaching something different today. So again, Matthew 28:18, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. People don't want to accept that. They want to spin the wheel. Well, I like this because this is the way we've always done it. I like this because my preacher said that this is the answer. My daddy taught me this. My mama taught me that. This is where 1 Corinthians 4:6 comes into play. Do not think of men above that which is written. No matter who the man is, maybe the closest, dearest relative, and you love him more than anybody or love her more than anybody else, but if he or she says something different than the Bible, you go to the Bible. The belief that any man in whom the Holy Spirit is supposed to dwell can properly determine the true nature and content of Christian doctrine is denied in the saying of Christ, even in the apostles. The Holy Spirit did not speak of himself. The Holy Spirit spoke what God wanted him to do, and he spoke to bring into remembrance those things to the apostles. For he shall not speak from himself, but whatever things soever he shall hear, these shall he speak. For he shall take of mine and shall declare it unto you. So Jesus goes from talking about these people that did all these things. He says, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom, but he who does the will of the Father in heaven. And he talks about this man that built on a rock. This rock is nothing more or less than these words of mine. In verse 27, and the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell not, for it was founded on the rock. Look at the words that he uses. Rains, floods, winds in this place suggest opposition from above, the rains, beneath, the floods, all around, the winds. But the wise man's house stood firm, not because it was built on a rock, but because it was built on the rock, Jesus Christ. His teaching is the rock. All else is sinking sand, sinking sand. And everyone that heareth these words of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and smote upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof. So he's repeating this now in a negative sense of what he said just before. The focus of attention here would be on the revelation of what the true rock actually is. Again, the words or teachings of Christ. This is the point that so many seem to miss. They don't want to go to the words of Christ. They don't want to go to just the words of Christ. But the people got this. They got what he was saying. They understood. Not all of them believed that Jesus in the sermon, but he showed his authority surpassing that in this Sermon on the Mount. His authority surpassed the scribes. And they said, never a man spoke such as this. His authority surpassed the scribes. It surpassed the Ten Commandments. It surpassed Moses. It surpassed all earthly and human authorities. And they went out and got busy. They worked. They did things in his name. And he says, depart from me. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of the Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. This is some of the scariest words that there are. Depart from me, I never knew you. So this is the song that this lesson revolves around. Sorry, I never knew you. Last night as I lay sleeping, a dream appeared to me. I dreamed about the end of time, about eternity. I saw a million sinners fall on their knees to pray. The Lord, he sadly shook his head, and this I heard him say, sorry, I never knew you. Depart from me forevermore. Sorry, I never knew you. Go and serve the one that you have served before. I thought the time had fully come that I must stand the trial. I told the Lord that I had been a Christian all the while. But through his book, he took a look and sadly shook his head. Then placed me over on his left, and this I heard him say, sorry, I never knew you. I find no record of your birth. Sorry, I never knew you. Go and serve the one that you served down on earth. There were my wife and children. I heard their loving voice. They must have been so happy. Oh, how they did rejoice. Their robes of white around them, their faces all aglow. My little girl looked over at me, and this I heard her say, Daddy, we can't go with you. We must dwell in the joys of our Lord. Sorry, for we still love you, but you cannot be our daddy anymore. Now when I had awakened, the tears were in my eyes, and looking all around me, and there to my surprise, there were my loving babies. I knew it was a dream. And beside that bed of mine, you should have heard me scream. Father, Lord in glory, I know thou gave thine only son. Father, please forgive me, for I want to be ready when you come. Friends, this is a sobering thought. Like we talked about this morning, the man that kissed the door of heaven and walked through the gate of hell. And this one, sorry, I never knew you. There are going to be many people that are expecting one thing on the day of judgment and are going to receive something else. We need to make sure that we are following the Word of God, not just to follow the Word of God, but because we want to. We want to please our Father. We want to learn what He wants us to do. We want to study. What if there's something else that He wants us to do that I haven't read about? I need to study my Bible. I need to study it. I need to hide it in my heart. I shouldn't be stingy with it. I should take it and share it with others and pray that after we've done everything that we've done, that God will have mercy on us, forgive us of our sins that we've repented of. And then when the judgment comes, we can hear that, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joys that are waiting for you." Friends, if there's anyone that needs to respond to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.